This morning's reading is from Psalm 32, and if you've got a church Bible, it's on page 560. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, James. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Lord, as we come to the last of these disciplines of grace, as we look about how we can become healthier as Christians, healthier as people through these glorious sort of pieces of spiritual gym equipment you've given us to train. Lord, as we come to this final one of confession, please open our eyes to its glory and its delight. Amen. If you were to go to the doctor and she said that if you took a particular pill she had every day, it would lead to significant improvements in your emotional health, your happiness, in your confidence, in your decision-making ability, in your relationships, and in your authenticity, you know, as you're feeling that you are who you really are, and you believed her, you believed that it was all true, how disciplined would you be in taking that pill? Like, you know, if you know you have to take it every day, if you don't take it every day, it's going to fade, it's not going to work. You take it every day, you'll have those things. How disciplined would you be in taking that pill? You'd be really disciplined, wouldn't you? Like, for me, I would have put it in my alarm on my phone. I know people who do this. Their alarm goes off at weird times. They say, oh, yes, I'm meant to do such and such. You know that thing? I swear I'd have it. Daily, the alarm would go off, and I'd take the pill. In order to feel happier, more confident, better decision-making, relationships, and authenticity. Well, I say this because that is what confession is. Confession is that pill. It will lead to us being happier, growing in confidence, making better decisions, having better relationships, and being more authentic. And I don't say this just casually. I say this because it's in God's word. So let's look at confession. And we're going to see first that confession does lead to a greater happiness. It starts our phrase here, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Why? Because they have confessed their sin. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That word blessed literally simply means the word happy. In the time when the psalmist wrote, that's what it meant happy. Often in the Bible it's used as to describe the happiness that comes from knowing that you are in a close relationship with the living God who loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. So confession leads to that confident happiness. But that seems counterintuitive to our world. But his confession is admitting the things we've done wrong, not just the mistakes we made, like, oh, I didn't pass that ball very well, or I slipped up or something. I mean the stuff we properly do that's wrong, we know is wrong, and we still do it. How could thinking about that and saying sorry about it lead to happiness? That seems totally counterintuitive to our world. Because they think that dwelling on sin will lead to unhappiness, a loss of confidence, a sense of insecurity and fear. But the reality is, what our world thinks has been told it by the devil. It is, if you like, this rejection of confession is the desperate cover-up by a world that has a worldview that has no answer to the fact that we do stuff that we know is wrong. Not just that we do stuff and it's wrong, and then, oh, somebody tells us it's wrong, we thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that. We can think that something is the wrong thing to do, and we still go on and do it. And our world has no answer to that. And it has no answer to the guilt that comes with it. And so it says, best not to think about it. And to be honest, they're right. For them, they're right. There is no answer. And so the best thing is just to run away and cover up. It will leave you unhappy, but it won't leave you as unhappy as you will be if you focus on the thing that cannot, you have no answer to. But not so for the one who trusts in Jesus. Let's see what our psalm tells us. Look, verse 1a. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. Forgiveness is when the penalty for what you've done wrong has been lifted. That's what hearing you're forgiven does. The guilt that comes with sin is like a series of chains robbing us of our freedom. Of our freedom to know joy and happiness and peace. Our freedom to know God. Chains broken. Secondly, we're going to see shame washed away. Blessed is the one whose sins are covered. They're no longer visible. They've been dealt with. Do you know that moment when you, like for me, I don't often wear smart clothes. I really don't often wear my suit. And you know when you get your suit out and you put it on and there's a massive stain somewhere on it. You know that thing, you think, oh no, it's too late. I'm already late for this massive thing. What I do, so you think, oh, I'll cover it up. Maybe a strategic angling of the jacket, or if you're maybe got a scarf which just sort of drapes over the stain. You know that feeling? You're trying to cover it up, but you and left the whole time anxious that the wrong movement will lead to the stain being made clear and looking like a slob. That constant fear of it being discovered. Well, that's kind of what we deal with in our sin, isn't it? The constant fear of being found out. And the reason for that is that no way we try to cover up our sins will ever be wholly reliable. It will always peek through. But not when it comes to the Lord in this passage. He will cover your sins. It says in verse 5, it talks about the psalmist, the singer, saying, I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. Why? Because it hadn't worked. But look what the Lord does. He is the one who does cover our sins. He covers our sins through the death of Jesus. In the old-fashioned thing, it was he covered our sins with his blood and washed them away. When you confess to the Lord, the stain of what you've done wrong is truly removed. Others might remember the stain for a bit, but the Lord has removed it. The next point is that condemnation is over. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Have you ever been in that sort of relationship where someone remembers the things you've done wrong? And maybe they make comments or allusions to it. That thing you did wrong is still counted against you. Maybe they've said they've forgiven you, but it's still counted against you. Do you know that feeling? Not with the Lord. With the Lord, he never counts that sin against you again. He says, the condemnation for what you've done is finished. That's why that verse in Romans 8 is so precious. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is over. But also, the exhaustion of unconfessed sin is relieved. Look at verses 3-4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When we have something that we feel guilty about and that we haven't brought to the Lord in confession, it leaves us feeling exhausted, emotionally exhausted. It feels like, and that can have physical effects as well. Trying to deal with our sin on our own by covering it up or paying for it is like swimming against the riptide. You feel like you're working really hard, but you're just going further and further backwards. But confessing what we've done wrong to the Lord is like climbing into the Lord's RNLI lifeboat and speeding over the top of the riptide and getting to safety. It's a beautiful thing. Condemnation over. Exhaustion relieved, shame washed away, chains broken. Isn't it wonderful? Why wouldn't you want to confess? Confession will lead to greater happiness. It's not saying, it gets really important, that all of your unhappiness is all because of your sin. No, it can be because of what others have done to you. As if the more unhappy you are, the more sinful you must be. That's not what this is saying. But what it is saying is that for all of us, confession of our sin will lead to the only path to true happiness. Because it brings us back to the one who can deal with all of our struggles and all of the areas that cause us unhappiness. What's the number one cause of your unhappiness? It might be grief. It's more normally fear. But not when you know that the Lord has forgiven you and loves you. So confession leads to happiness, but it also leads to authenticity. Look at last part of verse 2. Blessed is the one in whose spirit is no deceit. The thing is, we constantly go around lying, don't we? We constantly going around being a hypocrite, making out that we're better people than we know ourselves to be deep down. How do we know this? Because there's stuff you've done wrong which you feel ashamed of that you've never told anyone. Why? Because you don't want that to get through the filter. You know, like Instagram and Snapchat filters and all that business. You take a picture of me and you make me look half passable with the right filters. And the reason for that is you remove the ugly bits, in which case you've got nothing left. You remove the ugly bits and you change the bits which can be changed. It's no longer really me, but it looks better. Well, that's what we do, isn't it? The whole of our lives are really spent being afraid of being discovered. We dress ourselves up to look better than we truly are. Why? Because we fear what people's reaction will be. Fear leads to such insecurity. The fear of being found out. The fear of being found out to be not good enough. That thought that if they really knew me, they wouldn't still love me. And so we cover up so that others will love us. But then what happens? Well, we're left with thinking, well, they're loving this partially fake person. They're kind of related to me, but they're a better version. They're loving someone who isn't quite me. No wonder we're anxious and exhausted. But instead, we can come to the Lord and we can confess. We can unload to the Lord everything that we've done wrong. All the bits that we're normally too ashamed or afraid to say. Why? Because we look at the cross and we know that he will forgive us our sin. I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, verse 5. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So that's the blessing we're offered today, the blessing of confession. Can I encourage you to do two things? We'll go into some practical guidelines in a second, but two things. The first is go deep, and the second is go specific. Go deep. There is a fake confession, which we all slip into. We come to church, we confess our sins at church. We're not really thinking about anything, or if we are, we're thinking about the small stuff. Go deep. Confess deeply. Confess the stuff that you've even forgotten about because you've tried to cover it up so much. And be specific. Don't say, Lord, I'm sorry that I said those nasty things about that person. Or no, don't say, I'm sorry that I say nasty things about people. Say, I'm sorry that yesterday I said nasty things about that person. And I said this. Yeah? Go deep and go specific. Because if you like, what you're trying to do is take the poison that's in your heart, and you're trying to get it out. And the way you get it out is by sort of confessing it to the Lord. So actually kind of enjoy confessing even the really dark stuff. Because it's like that poison is being drawn out of you as you do so. So confession leads to happiness. It also leads to this greater sense of confidence as well. But it also leads to authenticity. Confession leads to confidence. Look, verse 6 to 7. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. That feeling of, I am safe. I am secure. Frightening things are happening around me, but I am safe. Why? Because you are my hiding place, Lord. You will protect me from song and surround me with songs of deliverance. That's the language of an army victoriously singing songs because they have defeated the invader. And so it is with the Lord. He sings songs around us as he delivers us. And the other thing which surrounds us is his unfailing love. Of course, that's going to lead to confidence. I need fear nothing now. If the loving God loves me, even though he knows all about me, even though he knows the darkest bits, if he loves me to the extent that he would send his son to die and rise again for me, I don't need to fear anything now. I can't fall out of verse 10b. I can't fall out of the Lord's unfailing love and his protection. As it says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with giving us Jesus, give us all good things? Romans 5:10, if while we were sinners, Christ died for us, so that now we're his friends, now that we're his friends, he's going to stop at nothing for you. If he gave up his life for you when you were his enemy, now that you are his friend, he's gonna stop at nothing for you. What are you anxious about right now? What is robbing you of confidence? What is causing sleepless nights or tortured thoughts or just this general sense of feeling down? What is it right now? Well, do three things. Go to the Lord and confess your sin. Confess everything you've done wrong. Secondly, claim his forgiveness. And what I mean claim it is it's been offered to you, so just receive it. So you confess what you've done wrong, and then at the end you say, thank you, God, that you have forgiven me completely. And then thirdly, rejoice in his love. Thank you for your love. Thank you that your love surrounds me. And maybe in that moment you'll remember the stupid illustration we did earlier. And you will look to the north. You will look to the east. You will look to the south. You will look to the west. You will look up and you will look down. And you'll say, your love surrounds me. However great the problem you're facing right now, it is nothing compared to the problem that God has already dealt with for you. Your sin. He's dealt with it once and for all. And as a result, not just that you will need fear nothing, but you will be wiser. Verses 8 to 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do you know why you keep making the same stupid decisions? Because you're running away from the one who made the universe in which you live. And you're running away from him because you're afraid of what you've done. But you don't need to be. You can confess and receive his forgiveness. If you are afraid, if you're making foolish decisions, run to Jesus and confess your sins. But I want to finish the last 5 minutes with just some practical ways you can do this. If you like, a rhythm of confession. And if you take notes, this is where you can stop, because I've got a handout at the end of this to help you with this. Firstly, I say, confess your sins daily, 2 minutes before you go to sleep. I was going to say, put up your hands if you brush your teeth before you go to bed, but I won't do that because it might be embarrassing. And of course, you're meant to brush your teeth for 2 minutes, and you do that every night. Why don't you also say, I will also spend 2 minutes confessing my sins for that day? And then at the end of it, you say, therefore, there is now no condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus. What a way to go to sleep, eh? Confess your sins daily. Then also confess your sins weekly. And I would suggest, this is not a law, but this is some guidance. Take 10 minutes out before you come to church to confess the things you've done wrong. And in particular, because church is about being a family, confess your relational wrongdoings. The ways you've gossiped or slandered. The ways you've been avoiding someone. The way you weren't very nice to someone. The way you saw somebody in need and you could have acted, but you didn't. Not the stuff when you see people in need and you can't act. There's loads of times of that. But the times you could have done something. Confess weekly. And then, once a month, set aside 20 minutes. 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes to go deep. And one thing you can use is a template, which I've used in the past. So I'll give you this and see what you think. The first thing is use the body. Use the body like that. And use the different parts of the body to help you think through confession. The first one, let's get it up. Your thoughts. So you're thinking about your brain here. What wrong thoughts have I dwelt on? What things have I continued to harbour in my mind? Bitterness about somebody else or even anxiety. What can I bring to the Lord? Then the next one. It's a really disturbing face, I know. The eyes. Hopefully you can see that all right. The eyes. What have I looked at which I shouldn't have? What have I read in a book? What have I looked at on a screen? What have I looked at when I've been walking down the streets? Maybe it's you've looked lustfully at someone. Or maybe you've looked lustfully at something. What have I looked at? Mouth. What things have I said which have not honoured Jesus? Yes, obviously, blasphemy, all that one, coarse things, inappropriate jokes, all of that. Yeah, I get that. But also gossip and slander, passing on things which you don't know are true. Ganging people together with your words against someone else. What have I said which have not honoured Jesus? Ears. In what ways have I been listening to voices rather than Jesus? And this is all about influence. How have I allowed something which runs counter to Jesus to influence me? Have I, just very practical level, have I been spending more time listening to, in our case, to NCIS or Lethal Weapon rather than God's Word? Have we been listening to that box set more than Jesus? Then heart, I think, is next, isn't it? Is that right? Oh, very good. Heart. In what ways have I lived for someone other than Jesus? What is my greatest treasure? What have I made the thing I long for more than Jesus? What is the thing that if it was taken away from me, I would be angry at Jesus about? What has got first place in my heart? Hands. In what ways have the things I've worked at dishonoured Jesus? One of the things I really should have done, come back to stomach in a sec. Hands. What are the things I've worked out which have dishonoured Jesus? Stomach. Go back. This is really challenging. Georgina's wizziness. Perfect. Stomach. What are the appetites, the warped or addictive appetites that I keep feeding and actually damage me, but I still go back to them? It might be food. It might be drink. It might be other appetites, things where we are filling our desires with things which cannot meet them, things other than Jesus. And feet, what are the ungodly patterns of living which I followed? Now, immediately I feel that we're getting down about this. I mean, it's all very gloomy. No, it's not. This is about getting rid of all that rubbish out of your life and getting clean. You know, when I get really messed up, I don't feel rubbish about having a shower, do you? I love that moment when you get really grimy and you get under the shower. All you people at bars, I don't understand you because you just wallow in it. But shower, you're cleaned of it, aren't you? You come out, you feel great, don't you? That's what you're thinking here. Naming this stuff is you walking into the shower to be cleaned. and come out fresh and smelling great without any hair. That is what confession is. So enjoy it. So daily, weekly, monthly. There is one other thing which I'll finish with. Sometimes you'll have a really deep, persistent sin in your life. Something you can't shake, or something which you feel is so awful that you fear that God will never forgive you. And you prayed about it, and you said sorry, and you know God has forgiven you, but you still feel guilt about it. That's when you need to do something else. You need to find a faithful Christian, and you need to confess your sin to them. Not because they can forgive you, but because they will tell you that God has forgiven you. And sometimes having a brother or sister who tells you what you've not dared to believe, it can transform your experience of that. So I leave you with the joy of confession. Try it out. Be countercultural. Follow the Lord. Confess your sins to him and receive his washing. Amen.